it was not the first one that he wrote. That's what we now call Piano Concerto No. 2 is actually the earlier of those two works.
Right,
but as often happens, we call things by the order in which they were published, not the order in which they were written. But both the First Symphony and the Piano Concerto were clearly very much influenced by the classical style of Haydn and Mozart, to an extent, as one would expect. But they were debuted shortly after Beethoven sort of arrived in Vienna and wanted to announce himself to the musical world as the next big thing, essentially. And that meant not just as a composer, but also as a pianist. In fact, he had probably even greater fame initially as a performer than as a composer. And these piano concertos that he wrote, with the exception of the last one, where by the time he wrote that, he was too deaf to continue performing. But at least the first four were written really as vehicles for himself as a soloist. And then we were also playing the Egmont Overture, which is a work from sort of his late middle period. In fact, we're opening the concert with that. That is sort of the more Beethoven, more the Beethoven of like his Fifth Symphony, for example, that has that progression from dark to light. That blazing heroic finish in the last movement of the Fifth Symphony is mirrored in a microcosmic way by the ending of the Egmont Overture, which is only a minute or so long, but it gives you that same sense of triumph that you feel at the end of the Fifth Symphony, for sure.
Yeah, Egmont actually comes up a lot on our airwaves. It gets requested quite a bit, which should please a lot of people who have been waiting for a live concert performance of that overture.
Well, I think it is a great piece to, in a short period of time, 10 minutes or so, understand a lot of Beethoven's style, I guess, in a very pithy, kind of compact way. I think of all the overtures that he wrote, it's probably the most often performed and probably the most famous. They're the three Leonore overtures and the Fidelio overture, and then a number of others, Consecration of the House and so on. But I think Egmont, for the reasons that I just mentioned, because it just sort of in a pithy way gives you all that you love about Beethoven, is probably the one that people are most familiar with, and we can certainly talk about that in greater detail if you like. The orchestra is a relatively small one for this program. Actually, that's the largest instrumentation that we have, the Egmont Overture, with four horns. The others have just a pair of horns and a pair of trumpets, timpani, and then woodwinds in pairs, and then a relatively small string section. But it's going to, I think, work very well for the transparency that you need in this music and the acoustic that we have in First Baptist Church. Your listeners may recall that this season we are continuing to perform at First Baptist instead of the Riverview because of the renovations going on there.
Right.
But the opportunity that we have is a great one, because it allows us to experience this very sort of reverberant and flattering acoustic that we have in First Baptist. Plus, with a soloist like Mei Li, we have these wonderful cameras. Did you know that?
No,
didn't mean to surprise you.
As her face just lights up, like, what are you talking about?
Well, there are, as again, some of your listeners may know, there are a bunch of cameras arrayed around the sanctuary there, and they are able to kind of take some feeds of the conductor and also the orchestra, but as well the soloist, so that people that are seated a little bit farther away get a chance to feel like they are kind of more in the mix of the action, as it were, on stage.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Mei Li, why don't you kind of introduce yourself to the people that are listening? I know if people came to the Weidman competition, they would have had an opportunity to hear you. And but I don't know that a lot of people necessarily know a lot about how you got interested in piano and about your background. So why don't you talk a little bit about that? What got you into music?
My mom was a piano teacher.
Okay.
She teaches young children, so she kind of introduced me into this area. And I started the piano when I was only 2.5. I started on the keyboard first because I cannot press the piano key by the...
Could you reach the pedal?
No. So I started the keyboard first, and after 1.5 years, I transferred it to piano. And I've been with the piano for a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, pretty much your whole life.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the first piano concerto.
It's a special piece for me because I really like the piece because, you know, when people think of Beethoven, they think of him as a very tragic person, like, you know, the Symphony No. 5, the C minor sonata. He's so tragic. His whole life is full of, you know, dramatic things. But this concerto is so different that it just shows you a young man that's full of hope, you know, like very energetic and very happy, I would say. So it just shows you another side of Beethoven that is rarely known for people. Yeah, so yeah. That's why I think this concert is so special.
Excellent. Well, since we have pianos in our performance studio, and since you are here, we thought it would be nice if you would play something for us. What might you be playing for us today?
I'm going to play a Beethoven sonata, Opus 81A, the third movement. And Beethoven named this movement called Return, and that kind of represents my feeling right now. I'm so happy to return to Freeport and play for the audience. And it's a very exciting movement, full of joy, and yeah.
Okay, terrific. Well, why don't you go ahead and get into the piano? Yeah, Maylee has to change rooms and go into the Weiss Performance Studio. And while she's doing that, anything you want to add about the concerto?
We can talk about the concerto in a second. I would just say that she mentioned returning, and I think one of the wonderful things, of course, about working here in Shreveport is this opportunity to get to know young artists right at the cusp of what will be great careers. And for Maylee to have been here in December with the Weidman competition, and then also back in September playing some chamber music with our musicians, and now to play with the orchestra is kind of like a second home for her, I think, in some way. So glad to welcome her back.
All right. Well, terrific. Well, continuing onward with some more Beethoven, here is pianist Maylee.
Thank you.
performing live in the Weiss Performance Studios here at Red River Radio. Pianist Mei Li, who's a gold medal winner from the Nina Plant Weidman Piano Competition and who will be performing tomorrow different music of Beethoven along with the Shreveport Symphony Orchestra. And Mei Li, that was wonderful.
Thank you.
And so I think in the spirit of the bulk of the rest of the concert that people can have the opportunity of hearing tomorrow, kind of that same feel to it. But I love the contrast right at the end.
Yeah.
That's such a Beethoven surprise, which he's full of, and that's mm-hmm. I think that's one of the cool things about music of Beethoven. So thank you for doing that. Again, Mei Li will be performing tomorrow evening with the Shreveport Symphony at 7:30. Aside from piano music, of course, Michael mentioned the Egmont Overture, but there's also more in store.
Yes, indeed. His Symphony No. 1, which is a work written right around the same time as the first piano concerto. That one is cast in four movements, which I suppose is not unusual, but it follows, in a way, the models of Haydn, but it is clearly a work by a composer who was not going to be content to just do what was perhaps expected. The opening of the first movement, for example, has a slow introduction, as was very common in the later symphonies of Haydn. But this slow introduction is in no way sort of rounded out, finished entity in and of itself. There are a lot of Haydn introductions that are 2.5, 3 minutes long and almost feel like you could end at the end of it and be sort of satisfied with a complete musical thought. It really, in the case of Beethoven, he gives us a series of what are like 5-1 chords, basically, that they keep kind of leading nowhere and they keep changing. It's almost, I mean, I think it's not exactly thigh-slappingly hilarious, but it is at least somewhat tongue-in-cheek, I think, and amusing the way he is kind of poking fun at the idea of, now I'm going to have to give you a sense of tonicizing a particular chord, but I'm just going to pick a bunch sort of almost at random and keep you off balance a little bit. It doesn't last very long, and then we're into this lively, energetic sonata form movement. Remarkably, the symphony doesn't really have a slow movement. Beethoven, we think of as being this unparalleled composer of these gorgeous, luscious, slow movements in the piano sonatas, and certainly in some of his later symphonies. We really don't have that in the in the first symphony. The second movement moves along at a kind of elegant clip in either 3 or 1, and then the third movement, which he marks as a menuetto, is in no way a menuet because of the tempo that he indicates. Sure. So it is really, if you were to slow it way down, you could imagine it being a rather conventional menuet, perhaps not terribly interesting at that tempo, but certainly you could dance to it. But the tempo that he indicates turns it into something totally different, really a scherzo, which is the faster triple meter version of what is going to become the more standard fast movement, or alternative third movement for the rest of Beethoven's career, and really into a lot of the 19th century. And then the last movement, again, has a sort of a brief, slow introduction with some scales that keep going a little higher, and then finally we revert to this more up-tempo allegro. So it's a piece that whose familiar language would have been understood by audiences at the time, but I think they also would have raised a few eyebrows at the brashness maybe of this composer, and that we know that tendency only was given more and more license and voice throughout his career.
Yeah, like who is this guy and what is he coming up with?
That
especially that opening introduction to the symphony would have been, I think, shocking to the ears of that era a little bit.
Yes, I think you're right. To us today, it doesn't have the same impact that I think it would have back then. Yeah. No question about that.
One other short piece that we're doing on the concert, I think maybe we ought to mention, and that is from the string quartet, a late string quartet of Beethoven.
Yes, that's the Opus 130, and we're playing I guess it's the fifth of sixth movements in that string quartet, Cavatina, which means a simple song, essentially. And it is a work we're going to play with our string section, rather than just a string quartet, so it's going to have a fuller and lusher sound. We're going to play that at the beginning of the second half of our program, and some of your listeners may know that we, our musical community in Shreveport, suffered a big loss very recently with the passing of our principal bassist, Peter Haas, and we are remembering him really all season, of course, but in particular during this concert and with that piece, which was a favorite of his. So we are honored to be able to share this glorious piece of music, one that Peter valued, and remember him as we do so.
Sure. And of course, audiences, I think our regular audiences are so used to seeing Peter there right on the outside, you know, looking at the stage. There he is with his bass. So this will be a nice moment to honor his memory on a program that is filled with the music of, you know, arguably the greatest or one of the greatest composers of all time, and certainly music that that he loved as well. So the program is tomorrow evening, 7:30 p.m. It's at First Baptist Church in Shreveport. You can get tickets online. That's at ShreveportSymphony.com, or you can call 318-227-8863. That's 227-T-U-N-E, Tune, if you can remember Tune. And tickets are available that way as well. So before we leave this for this morning, anything else you want to add, Michael?
Well, just that I'm looking forward in particular to playing this music in that space. I've said that kind of thing before, but it bears a special meaning for a concert like this that I think will really be well. I think this repertoire is especially well suited to this venue. I think the size of this venue is probably not unlike some of the halls that Beethoven would have been performing in
Vienna. In Vienna. It's a very European feeling space.
It is. It has that sort of high-ceilinged, rectangular feeling that it does. It absolutely feels European, and to be able to play it there with, you know, as I said, the technology involved that allows the audience to kind of feel more connected, and to do it with this fabulous young artist who was actually even younger than Beethoven was when he
well,
premiered
that's true.
Work.
That's absolutely true. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's the Van Cliburn piano, the piano that he donated to the church. So that
Indeed.
Piano itself has a really wonderful history to it. Maylee, thank you so much for being here. It's great getting to know you. Looking forward to hearing you in rehearsal. And Michael, thank you for being here. Again, tickets at ShreveportSymphony.com or 318-227-8863. And you can just squeak in if you want a chance to win a pair of tickets by calling us here at Red River Radio. And that is, of course, 800-552-8502. And a pair of tickets can be yours, but you have to call, I think, within about the next 10 minutes. So give us a call. Again, Michael, Haley, thank you so much.
Thank you.